Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. As always, it is a blessing and an honor to be with each and every one of you. I want to praise and thank God for what we have coming up is, of course, tomorrow, Ash Wednesday. It's a beautiful time for all of us to grow in grace, to grow more perfectly into the image and likeness of our God. You and I are called to be the face, the hands, the voice of the living God in the world. We're called to allow Him to live through us and move in us each and every day, moment to moment. And sometimes, you know, that gets clouded over within us. Sometimes we don't realize that there's darkness in each of us. You know, we're all full of light, but there's also darkness. And we have to be aware of that in order to allow God's light to shine into the darkness that all really and truly lies within each one of us. And Mother Church, in all of her wisdom, takes this time to call her children to reflect and to ponder how much are we reflecting the light of Christ, or are we trying to reflect self? Each of us are called into the world to be a light to others. And others are called to be that light to us. And that's why the Lord always sent us by twos to go out, two by two. And as I begin the program today, I just wanted to seize that moment and remind you as well as myself that as this time of Lent comes and we begin tomorrow, Ash Wednesday, that we're called to turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. That's a call that's on each of our lives as Christians. And we can seize the moment and take this time to really look deep within our own hearts and our own spirits, and to give a real good examination of our own hearts and our own minds. You know, I went to confession today up at the shrine. I go up there every couple weeks. And I'm so blessed in my life, particularly as a Catholic, that we have that magnificent gift that is offered to each one of us, the merciful heart of Jesus that we find in the sacramental life of the Church, first feeding us and nourishing us with his own precious body and blood, strengthening us for the journey that each of us are on, and we never quite know where that journey will end, nor where it will take us. And so we always have to be prepared. We have to, you know, I'm actually going on a trip out to Texas. I'm going to speak out there and do a retreat out there in Texas. And then I'll leave there and do the same thing in Louisiana. And so when I go, I have to pack my bags. Now, I'll be leaving very cold weather here and going into warmer weather there. And I have to be prepared. I have to stop. I have to look at where I'm going and what I'm going there for. And I have to really ponder, what do I need to take with me for this journey? What shall I pack? And in a sense, Mother Church says the same thing to us. She tells her children that this is a Lenten journey that each one of us are on. And it's a time to come away, to spend a little bit of time reflecting on the inner being of ourselves. It's time to look at the areas in our lives that the light has difficulty shining through because there is darkness. And that could be for many different reasons. We're all called to, you know, by the commandments, honor our father and mother. I don't know your ages today, but if your mother's still alive and your father's still alive, then it's a time to really ponder that, isn't it? When do we really think of our parents? Maybe we only have one or the other left. Do we get so caught up in our own lives that we don't honor them with our time, with our love, or with our mercy? Do we not look to their needs as they did look to our needs when we were little? Do we look to their needs now that they're older? And they can't do the things that they used to do for us. They can't sometimes do them for themselves. Or do we look at it as an inconvenience or a burden? Only each one of us can answer that. And that's just one of the ways. You know, the Lord tells us to be holy as I am holy. And so when we take a deep look inside, are we holy? And, you know, that's a beauty of the gift of examination. It's a time to say, I'm not reflecting the gifts that God shows each one of us every day, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness, his provision, his tenderness, his forgiveness. That's how we become holy. So if we're not holy as he is holy, then it's a time to, again, to look within ourselves and see where we can pull out those weeds of unforgiveness and address those areas in our lives that we have a lack of forgiveness, whether it's to a, you know, a family member, clergy, member of the clergy, member of a religious order, a member in our parish, our workplace, our children, our mates, our relatives, our office mates. Are we judgmental? Do we feel like we're above others? Do we feel that they aren't in the same spiritual place that we are? These are all some of those weeds that we need to pull out, particularly at this time of Lent, this time that, as I said, Mother Church calls us to, echoes the voice of the bridegroom. Be holy, for I am holy. Only God is holy. And he tells us to be holy. That's a verb, to be, to grow, to become holy. And so that is what we're called to do at this time. And some people would say, well, I don't need that. And the people that say they don't need it, they don't need to take to be still, or they don't need to slow down, or they don't need to look deep within their own hearts. Oftentimes, they're the ones that need it the most because they're not aware of those things in life, those, which I say, weeds that can strangle out God's life within us. And so all of us, really, we all have to remember that, you know, as the scripture said today, what was it that Isaiah said when he prophesied? He says, he called the people hypocrites. Remember that? Well, if you weren't, may I say, that was one of the readings today. He says, you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with lip service, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. We need to look deep within ourselves, and we need to recognize those areas of our lives that this is a great opportunity that we're offered, this Lenten journey. It is a wonderful opportunity. It's one of my favorite times of the year because it gives us, not only gives us, it calls us to remember that God's God and we're not. It's a time to look within. It's a time to see the areas in our lives that we need to reconcile ourselves with God through the sacrament of confession. Reconcile ourselves to one another. You know, for you and I, being the mystical body of Christ, when one of us hurts, the whole body is hurting. And we forget that sometimes. But as a part of the mystical body of Christ, when we are walking in the mystery of God's love through the power of his Holy Spirit in our lives, then we do reflect God's love, his mercy, his compassion. God has loved us enough to lay down his life for us. And he wants us to recognize the truth of his word in Scripture when he says, I have come to give you life and life to the full. He wants us to experience joy, even in the deepest of sorrows. He wants us to be guided by the light of his word. Yes, even in times of darkness, when we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. That's why Mother Church, in all of her wisdom, of all the liturgical times in the calendar, decides that at this Lenten time, before we enter in to the mystery and journey of Lent, that we pause, that we take the time to look deep within ourselves, that we go to the sacrament of confession and begin our Lenten journey being healed, comforted, and strengthened, so that at the end of this Lenten journey, the winter will come to an end and spring will spring forth new life, so too it is with you and I. As we take this time in this winter of our lives right now, and we take the time to do the things we need to do by recognizing the areas in our lives, not to hide them, not to cover them over, but to recognize these things in our lives that are weeds that strangle the life of Christ within us, so that we're not fully walking in the abundant life. We're not moving in the fullness of the Spirit, because just as in a garden that's overgrown with weeds, fruit can't be born. Growth can't come. What was it that Mary Magdalene said when she was sitting in front of the tomb, when she saw that it was empty? She was weeping. And we know the story well about Jesus appearing to her. And she thought he was the gardener. She says, Sir, where have you taken him? And of course he says, Mary. And the way God calls her, each of our names, nobody else can quite call it the same. With infinite love and mercy and tenderness, Mary. You see, when we turn to the gardener of our lives, he can help us prune away. He can help us weed out the weeds in all of our lives, some more, some less. Maybe one area, maybe some have many areas. Maybe we're full of weeds. But the weeds of pride, envy, jealousy. Do we ever feel jealous and wish that we were the other person? Do we resent the recognition maybe that somebody else gets, either at work, in the home, even in ministry? Do we have a lack of forgiveness in our lives? Are there things within us that we haven't really reconciled, maybe sometimes from years ago? Because if we don't ever examine our hearts, our minds, our motives. If we don't look there and we don't name it, then we gloss over it and we wonder why we are not growing in the spirit. We wonder why we don't have the growth that loving God is supposed to bring. And this is why Mother Church calls us to this, to come on this journey. So at the end of the journey, we will have planted, we will have uprooted those strangleholds of the weeds, some of which I just named. Others may be a lack of mercy. You know what? Maybe it's ourselves we haven't forgiven. Maybe we've taken measures in our own lives, and although someone else has forgiven us, we have not forgiven ourselves. Or perhaps we have not forgiven God for the ways that life has not turned out the way we wanted it to, and perhaps through prayer even expected it to. And so we harbor resentment, and we don't forgive God. But when we take this time, as this journey is, and we can offer up a time of fasting, not only from candy, that's my big weakness, buttercreams, love dark chocolate buttercreams, coconut cream eggs, I love those things. I can stop at Wawa every day and get a bunch of them. But there's things that we put in our lives, or we allow to grow in our lives, because we don't stifle them out when we first recognize them. We just say, I won't do that again, or I won't think this again, or I won't act this way again. And because we haven't gone to confession and reconciled it, it continues to grow. And eventually it becomes a weed with roots. Next thing you know, it overgrows and strangles those gifts that God has given us, the life of the Redeemer within us. And so we have to take this wonderful time to look deep within ourselves, to examine ourselves. You know, every year you'll hear me say, we take our cars in for a yearly inspection. Because we really don't know what's going on under the hood, right? So we depend on the mechanic to check it out for us, to lift up that hood and to tell us that either we're in need of certain things. They check our tires. They check to see our oil. They see if all the things are running and firing, the spark plugs, and is the fuel pump working? All those things. Is your battery corroded? Because if it is, and you don't fix it now, down the road, when it gets colder and colder, you might be stuck somewhere because your car won't start. Why? Because it wasn't taken care of. And that's how our souls are. We have the kingdom of God within us. You and I, imagine, isn't that what the Lord tells us? The kingdom of God is within us. We'll take care of the external. We'll put on warm clothes to keep ourselves warm. We'll turn up the heat to keep ourselves comfortable in the house. We'll buy nice clothing so we look attractive. I buy much more than I need. Maybe you do. That's something we can work on. All the areas that God brings into our mind are areas that we can work on this Lent, so that by the time Lent is over, we will have plowed through our innermost being, and we would have plowed that soil. We would have taken out those weeds, and then our inner being, our soul, our mind, our spirit, begin to live out the beauty that is beginning to take place within us. Why? Because we just didn't take care of the external. We took care of the internal, our inmost being, where the garden of our soul is beautiful. It's our souls that reflect the very image and likeness of our God. And when it's overrun with weeds and, you know, strangleholds of overgrowth, then the love, the mercy, the compassion, the forgiveness, the joy and the zeal and the power of the living God is stifled. And it's not until we go deep within us and begin to lift those things to God, and as the gardener of our souls, give us the tools, the grace, the wisdom to look and see what needs to be done when he sheds his light into those dark little areas in our lives. And the areas that brought darkness because God's life was being stifled. God's life and beauty of our souls were being weeded over. And so once we start to deadhead, once we start to pull out those weeds, once we start to really tend the garden of our souls by inviting Jesus in to help us, then we exit this time, this journey, stronger, more powerful, more loving, more peaceful, more beautifully reflecting the glory of our God. We're going to take a little break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances, because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, we're back again. You're listening to What the World Needs Now. This is Kathleen McCarthy, and I'm blessed to be with you. I got a little carried away. I just meant to say, hey, how blessed we are to start off. Tomorrow begins our Lenten journey, Ash Wednesday, and next thing you know, I went off on this whole thing about opportunity it is, what an opportunity it is for each one of us. And I do believe with all my heart and soul that is how we grow in the Spirit, by pulling up that hood, if you will, opening up our eyes to look with spiritual eyes into the deepest recesses of our heart, so that our souls can truly reflect the glory of God for which each one of us was created. I'm going to open up the gospel today. For a couple months, I did read on Tuesdays from In the Silence of My Heart. But I'm sure you have had, after those couple of months, I figure that's good. I'll move on to something else. So today I opened up and just spoke on the beginning of Lent and our Lenten journey. I'd like to also read the gospel today. That's what I usually do first. Like I said, I just was filled with an anointing to begin to talk about beginning our Lenten journey tomorrow. The scriptures today are from Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 13. As I said, I read this to you each day that I can, because I think there's something so wonderful and beautiful about reading God's Word each and every day. And even if we don't have an opportunity to go to Mass for one of many good reasons, we do have the opportunity to read God's Word, to read the Scriptures. His Word is healing and comforting. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, so it corrects us. And His Word is a lamp unto our feet to show us which way to go, which way to walk. And so today we're going to walk along with Mark. It says, "Now when the Pharisees gathered together to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were dirty, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands. Observing the tradition of the elders, and when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they purify themselves. And there are many other traditions which they observe, the washing of the cups and pots and vessels of bronze. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why is it that your disciples do not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with hands that are defiled? And he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold fast the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandments of God in order to keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And he who speaks evil of his father or his mother, let him surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus making void the word of God through your own tradition. And many such things you do. Did you ever hear, we hear that encyclically 3 times a year because, you know, ABC, 3 times a year it's changed. But we hear that scripture. And I guess, you know, many times we wonder what makes somebody impure. What is it that is hypocritical in our lives as it was in the times of their lives? You know, the word hypocrite was a Greek word. And I think, if I remember it right, it was like Hippocopteris. I might have the wrong pronunciation, but it was somebody that was an actor. And in the medieval days, it was a man that held a mask up to his face and pretended to be somebody else, almost like charades, okay? And I think what the Lord is saying to all of us in this God's Word today, do we live for ourselves and carry on the things we want to carry on rather than adhering to the commandments of the Lord, honoring our fathers, honoring our mothers, living out the gospel, not for what other people think of us. That's what the hypocrites do. They put a mask on, if you will, just like the Greek word, men of the actor, one that held a mask up to their face. We're called to remove those masks so that God can cleanse us and heal us and wash us clean, renew us, so that we can carry out God's word, his commandments, the traditions that come down from the apostles, not man-made, but the traditions with a capital T that have come down and been handed to us from the apostles, which today, 2,000 plus years later, is the teaching magisterium of the church. So we too have to be careful in this time that we're not pretending to be something that we're not. More like a show. More like an actor or someone that's putting on a mask trying to be something they're really not. Do we take that time to pray? Do we take that time to read the Word of God? Do we take that time to worship the Lord? Or are we defiled in some way? Do we, you and I, search our hearts to see if we truly are loving the Lord and serving the Lord for no other reason but because He has loved us first? And so we want to love and worship Him too. Not so others can see it. Not so others can tell or talk about, oh, they're very pious. It's what people see in us, how they see Christ reflected in us, that they will know we are true followers of the Lord. That we're not people who honor Him with lip service. That our hearts are close to the heart of God because we call to Him all the day long, not because our hearts are far from Him. So this is really quite a time, you know. Again, Mother Church, in all of her wisdom, has these scriptures prepared at certain times that it speaks to our hearts and enlightens us to realize we have to look within. We have to pull out the weeds. We have to call upon the gardener, Jesus Christ, so that our souls, our beautiful garden around our souls, will reflect the very image and likeness of our God. You and I are blessed. Sometimes I wonder if we realize how blessed we are. And we have to do what Jesus did. You know, Jesus dealt with their accusations by going to the very heart of the matter. What is God's reason and purpose for the commandments? We have the honor, the wisdom, and the knowledge to know they aren't to condemn us, but they're to show us the path of life. He doesn't give us the Ten Commandments to tell us what we can't do. Oh, you Christians, you can't have any fun. You can't have any joy. You can't experience the things of life that are on this earth to enjoy. That's ridiculous. The commandments are truly given to us to guide us and to lead us onto the path of everlasting life. I tell people all the time, it's like the Cheshire Cat. If we don't know where we're going, let's face it, it doesn't really matter how we're going to get there. But if it matters, my brothers and sisters, if it matters, then it matters the path we follow. If we know where we're going and it's eternal life, then it matters how we get there. And the commandments are part of that. And Jesus has given us a new commandment, more important than anything. He says that you will love others. Love as I have loved you. That you will love me with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't want us to be act actors. He doesn't want... How many times you hear that expression? Hey, he's a bad actor. He doesn't want us to be hypocrites. He wants us to be his light in the darkness so that others can see him living in us. So that people can see that how we live our lives is in obedience to God's love, mercy, and laws. If you and I really read and ponder God's word in faith, in love, it will enlighten our minds and our hearts. Actually, it'll purify our hearts to be able to better understand how he wants us to love him and obey him and follow him and grow in him, with him, and through him. Doesn't the Lord, doesn't he invite us every day a new beginning? Every single day a new beginning. He invites us to draw near to him. We need to come with a clean heart, a clean mind. And it's only the Lord that can cleanse and renew each of us with the love and fire of his Holy Spirit. And so we need to go to him, the gardener of our soul. We have to call upon the Holy Spirit and ask him day in and day out to renew us with that purifying fire of his love. You know, I've said this for 40 years. I was down in Williamsburg once with my sister-in-law, Barbara. First time I was there, I remember going in and watching the potter make things. And I was fascinated, really fascinated. And I looked and I was in awe. And he, you know, put this liquid into the fire and, you know, he had the fire burning so hot it was almost white. And I was amazed when he reached these things in and took out the piece that he was making. And I asked him, you know, how do you know when it's done? How do you know when to put that instrument in and pull it out of the fire? And he looked at me and he said, I know it's done when I can see my reflection in it. I thought, wow, wow. Oftentimes we want the Lord to remove us from the fire of testing, from the fire of challenges, from the heat that we take day in and day out. But I bet you God looks at us and he removes us from it all, of all those challenges, all the testing. I bet you he removes us from the heat, from the fire, when he sees his reflection in our souls. That's why this time of Lent is so beautiful. It is a time to plow our inmost being, to plow those things in our heart and our soul and our mind that can stifle the Spirit of the living God within us. Maybe we don't spend enough time in prayer. Maybe we don't pray at all. Maybe we think about God and we think it's good enough. But God calls us to prayer. Prayer is the foundation of everything else. It underpins our service. It underpins our ministries. It underpins our lives. And it underpins who we are as wives, as husbands, as sons and daughters of God. And when that foundation of prayer is laid, we can build on it. And then we grow in the fullness of the Spirit when those weeds are pulled out so they no longer strangle the beauty of God's likeness and image. When the pride becomes humility. When that resentment and bitterness that we hold against someone is gone and we're filled with a compassion and an understanding. When the people that have hurt us along life's journeys that we haven't yet been able to forgive is transformed by that weeding, by that plowing, by placing new fertile soil there for new seeds of faith to grow, then that unforgiveness becomes fodder and seeds of new life to forgive, which opens the door to healing. Maybe there's a lack of mercy in our lives towards someone. Again, it is only God. It is only the living God, the gardener of our soul, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, helping us do the weeding, helping us do the plowing, pulling out those strongholds that we cannot do by ourselves, and filling our garden that surrounds our souls with beauty that begins to have the light shine so brightly on our souls that Jesus can see himself in us. He sees his reflection in us. And we begin to grow more and more each day into his likeness and to his image. We decrease and he increases within us. That's what our journey is about. It's a time of grace. It's a time of mercy. And we need to look to the kingdom of God within us to see if we can recognize it, or is it indeed grown over with weeds, strongholds? And if it is, let us ask for the breath of the Holy Spirit. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit cleanse our minds, our hearts, and enlighten our minds and hearts and spirits to love him more and more each day, to decrease each opportunity we have to face a challenge and grow out of it so that we can serve him and serve the world by allowing him to live in us and through us to bring the fire of the living God everywhere we go. You know, when I first took over this ministry, as you know the story, kicking and screaming, It was the words that God spoke to my heart in front of the Blessed Sacrament after I found those two little booklets that I knew I was definitely called to be here behind this microphone. I prostrated myself before the Lord. And in the silence of my own heart, he said, I have empowered you by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of my love out into the world. You see, that's when I knew without a doubt that I had to decrease and allow him to increase within me. It was then I knew it was not my will, but let your will, Lord, be done within me. And that's something that you and I have to do every day of our lives. You and I are called to be that light shining brightly in the darkness. And so today I pray for each one of us to take this time of grace, this time of waiting upon the Lord to guide us and to lead us. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord. How lovely is your dwelling place. Let us look deep within our hearts with eyes of faith, trusting in the gardener of our souls to make that dwelling place the very likeness and image of our God. I praise and thank God for each and every one of you. You have been an important part of my journey, of which I am most grateful. My brothers and sisters, if you're away from the church and you're listening today, this is an urgent time in the church. We have to be prepared. We have to ask the Lord for his help and his guidance through the power of his Spirit in our lives. So if you're away from the church, please come on home. We're not complete without you. Until we meet again, may Jesus hold you close to his sacred heart. May his Holy Mother Mary, with her immaculate heart, place her mantle over each and every one of us. May you remember and never forget, you are never, ever alone. He's with you always, even till the end of time. God bless you.